When Ernie Kovacs was a star in the early days of live television, he was called a clown, an oddball, and an innovator. The years since 1962, when he died in a car crash at the age of 42, he's been hailed as a genius. That might be hard to convey. Much of the humor for which he became noted was visual. A trio of musicians wearing gorilla suits and playing as if they were part of a children's toy. A lady in a bubble bath who gets visitors popping up in her suds. Ernie Kovacs rarely told jokes, and he didn't believe in punchlines. He was funny in an unhurried, usually unscripted, almost throwaway way, as when he'd wander into the audience with a deck of cards.
You two know each other?
I'm afraid not.
Have you ever seen each other before in your life?
No, sir.
Did I in any way talk to you before this program?
No.
Did I show you the card or tell you any particular card in the deck?
No, no.
Did I tell you any particular card in the deck?
No.
Then we can't do the trick. So, have to find somebody else I talk to.
A new DVD box set of Ernie Kovacs' work is out this summer. 13 hours of shows, specials, and bits culled from his career in the days when the national television audience was relatively small and could be enchanted by seeing a man pour milk sideways, which Ernie Kovacs figured out you could do if you tilted the set sideways, which he did. His humor didn't make an audience laugh so much as gasp or shake their heads.
See, Ernie didn't have a laugh track. Ernie did not need an audience. Ernie just needed Ernie. And he affected me because of his love of television as more than a means of transmission. It was also part of the creation.
George Schlatter became a friend of Ernie Kovacs when his wife, Jolene, appeared regularly on the Kovacs show. Mr. Schlatter would go on to produce Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, one of the many shows from Sesame Street to Late Night with David Letterman that have been inspired, sometimes unwittingly, by the way Ernie Kovacs delivered a gag with images.
The only arguments we ever had were about the necessity for punchline. My whole life has lived on punchlines, and Ernie avoided them very intensely. And I'd say, Ernie, you're so close to a punchline. He says, no, this is good. And there's a famous thing about it. He called me one day and he said, could I come over to the studio? And he would tape all day and all night, and he had this whole studio set up at ABC. And I went by, and Ernie was standing on a raised stage next to a car. And he said, look at this fine automobile. Touched the fender, and the car went through the floor. And Ernie said, now then, is that a punchline? Oh, yeah, Ernie, that's a big punchline.
Robert Smigel was written for Saturday Night Live and Conan O'Brien. He is Triumph, the insult comic dog. Became a fan of Ernie Kovacs when he watched some of his old videos at the Museum of Radio and Television.
It's always hard to explain Ernie Kovacs without sounding extremely pretentious, because you use terms like he was ahead of his time and pioneer, all these kind of high-minded terms, and then you watch clips, and it's the silliest visual stuff. It's a guy spilling milk sideways. And meanwhile, you're saying, you see, he was breaking new ground with the medium, and he was exploring, and oh my God, I have to take this call.
We'll get back to Robert Smigel a little later. Bill Sheff's written comedy for David Letterman for more than 20 years. He says that while it's a stretch to see Letterman as some kind of direct comedic descendant of Ernie Kovacs,
Dave is a student of television history. I don't think it's an accident that Bill Wendell was the announcer on the old NBC show, especially considering that he was Ernie's announcer and one of the players. And, you know, I don't think that that's an accident. And I think that Dave loves television history, and I think that he liked that connection.
Ernie Kovacs had what we would now consider to be an astonishingly small audience.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Sometimes you can hear him in the theater. Yeah, but I don't think that an audience is the best way of measuring somebody's influence.
Mr. Sheff sees David Letterman's old viewer mail segments as being influenced by a Kovacs bit called Mr. Question Man. Announcer Bill Wendell reads from a letter supposedly sent by a college student about to have dinner with the girls and their house mother.
As she is rather finicky about good manners, I would not like to do anything that would cause embarrassment. The girls all voted to have fried chicken, which brings up a point of etiquette. I would so much appreciate your answer as soon as possible. Can fried chicken be eaten with the fingers?
No. Fried chicken should be eaten by itself. The fingers can be eaten separately.
So So what was he like to work with, Ernie Kovacs?
He was just a sweetheart. He was just a very sweet man with the actors and the crew.
Jolene Brandschlatter had her own rich career as an actress and model. She was the first woman to be kissed by Zorro. But she's happy to be best remembered for being the girl in the bubble bath, sudsing herself while a periscope popped up in her tub. She says that Ernie Kovacs didn't tell her who or what would pop up, only that when it did, she should just keep sudsing, even with
people coming out, and then when the dog came out, that was a shocker. And, of course, when the tub moved, he did warn me about that. He said, oh, by the way, you're going to go through that wall over there in the tub. Yes.
The tub moved. Jolene Brand also played a recurring role in the Nairobi Trio, those gorillas that wore tuxes and bowler hats while they played music.
Ernie had been doing the Nairobi Trio in Philadelphia with Edie, his wife, Edie Adams. And when he came to California, Edie's career was going in a different direction, and Ernie wanted to reprise it again. And so he had Jack Lemmon, and he asked me to do it, the Nairobi Trio, with him also. So I was the blonde gorilla at the piano. So that was me.
And Jack Lemmon was?
Was the other one. He was the one who hit Ernie on the head with the little timbales.
And how do we explain the Nairobi Trio?
How do you explain it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you can. It's just such a visual delight. You just go with it. You see it once and you say, I can't believe what I just saw.
The small audience tuned in may also not have noticed that one of the musical gorillas was sometimes played by Frank Sinatra. Robert Smigel finally got off the phone, and the comedy writer explained that while some of Ernie Kovacs' comedic experiments worked better than others, even those bits that fell flat have impact.
He did a lot of great stuff, and then a lot of stuff, you watch it, and, you know, a lot of experiments go badly. You know, that's the price that people pay when they're experimenting in front of everybody. Sometimes the work gets duplicated and perfected by your peers and people who follow you. There are things he did that I saw years later when this DVD collection came out, and finally realized, oh, I see, I was ripping off Ernie Kovacs. I didn't know. Sorry, where do I write the check?
Ernie Kovacs took conspicuous joy in his work, but his heyday lasted just a little under 5 years. He had a happy marriage to the actress and singer Edie Adams, but a painful custody suit for the two daughters from his first marriage. At the time of his death, Ernie Kovacs owed $500,000 in taxes, because as Edie Adams once said, Ernie felt that he'd earned all that money, not the U.S. government. We asked George Schlatter if his tax problems, custody battle, or low ratings had hung heavy on Ernie Kovacs.
Nothing hung heavy on him. I don't think Ernie could have cared less about his tax problems. Ernie's tax problems were the government problem, not him. And Ernie worried about nothing.
When you take a bath nowadays, do you ever worry about stuff coming out of the tub?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Think about it all the time.
Jolene Brandschlatter, the original Girl in the Suds on Ernie Kovacs' shows. We also heard from her husband, producer George Schlatter, and comedy writers Bill Sheft and Robert Smigel. The Ernie Kovacs Collection DVDs are just out. A lot of the material survived only because Edie Adams cashed in her insurance policy to buy his tapes back from the networks just before they would be dumped into a landfill. You can see video clips of Ernie Kovacs at our website, npr.org.